That's right, everybody. It is Meatloaf Monday here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. Welcome in, J.C.
Good to be here, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I was just here.
I know it's weird, but you know what? For the podcast audience, we just
arrived. Absolutely. I forget about it. I shouldn't forget about it. There's a lot of those folks out here.
I think about that when I'm going through the intro. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, there are some people who only consume us via audio podcast. Thank you very much. Shout out to those who the pod people, as I like to call them.
The pod people. Yeah. Well, it's actually my thing with like listening to podcast is because I'm doing this all day or a chunk of the day. When I get in the car, and I've always kind of been a music guy in the car. I like to listen to tunes, you know?
Oh yeah.
My Apple Music, I guess is what you call it. It's on JC Sherbert's station,
right?
It'll do your own station. You know, I just kind of like to randomly do that. So I'll sit there and, you know, think and hum along to some music and stuff, but there is some times where I'm kind of musicked out and I want to like think about something, listen to it. So I've got a lot of podcasts I like to listen to. Most of them are not sports. So I don't get a chance to do it, but it's a cool format in that, like, if you're listening live on the radio, you have to, if you got to stop and get gas, you got to turn this, you may miss something.
Right.
On podcasts, it just stops and you go back and listen to it again and you don't have to listen to it live. And I dig it. We'll do it live. But yeah, I think that, you know, then also on top of that, if I do want to listen to sports, I'm actually listening to our other shows to kind of police, just make sure those guys are,
let's see what's going on. I know,
check in on them. It's always a good listen. And then now I've started listening to Chris and Wes and Gamecock Live, and there's no need to check in on those guys other than if you want to learn something. Or game, did I say Gamecock Live? Good game, God.
Yeah.
Gamecock Live. Gamecock Live. Central Live. GC Live. It's GC Live. And I was sitting there in my brain going, GC Gamecock.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I'd encourage everybody to go subscribe to the Gamecock Central Podcast Network. It's different than what we've got at ITG, but go do that. You won't be sorry. I mean, like, I listened to their latest episode. They hit the baseball search, they hit the football depth chart, and they hit recruiting. You're in and out in an hour, and it was like, wow. Really solid. I mean, and just the conversation that those two had, like, with each other. And, you know, like, as someone that has limited time to listen to podcasts, that's something like, just as a, if I were just out there and let's say I was a, you know, I kind of found a fun job today. This road crew, this little bobcat looking thing, they're fixing the road. It almost caused a wreck because the sign guy was twirling his around like he was a
stop slow.
And it was at a stoplight and the light was turning green, and then all of a sudden this thing looked like Luigi from Cars, just comes hauling butt stage right.
Nice.
And then back really fast. That was, so let's say I was just out there doing that and it wasn't even involved with any of this, but still a Gamecock fan. I would tune into us, but I'd definitely Gamecock Central Live with Chris and Wes. And Jack does some stuff over there too, and that's good as well. But I've really gotten a chance to dig in to what Chris and Wes did. And let's just say I was pretty impressed. Pretty impressive what they do. So anyway, baseball search still going on. It's one of those things I sort of feel like, Phil, that it'd be good to just get it over with soon, because the search doesn't end. It's almost a little bit more taxing, I think, on fans to see who it's going to be head coach wise. And then everybody's going to have an opinion about that.
Right.
And I'll tell you this right now. And I said this at the beginning of the search, and I've said this when you're trying to talk about, there's no-brainer hires out there. Right. And there rarely is. And people don't seem to, you know, get that at different college, you know, spots. But most of the time, the new coach is hired, and even the people that were naysayers want to kind of roll back around, and they'll get on board for a while. The fun stuff and the fascinating stuff is when the head coach is hired And then who's the staff? And then in sports now in college, you have this thing called a transfer portal that they immediately go to work doing. So you kind of get, whereas like when you used to hire coaches in November in football, you'd wait till February to see who they got in their class. And that was exciting too, because they'd flip people and it was never really that good of a class, truth be told. But when Urban Meyer and Nick Saban's first classes at Florida and Alabama are not super duper, it was that second class. But anyway, the portal though gives you kind of some instant feedback, I guess, instant idea of the following season, especially in baseball, and basketball as well. And so you kind of look at it and it's like, well, there's a lot of fun stuff coming up to talk about with baseball. And I almost just wanted to get it in because, and I'll tell you this, it's because of you all out there in the audience. I know most of you that really are into baseball, and that's a good chunk of the fan base. They care. If this thing drags into Thursday, it's going to get like worrisome because of how some searches have maybe not gone like process wise in the past, but searches that, because people don't remember, like, they don't remember the great Dave Odom basketball search went well. I still wish they'd have hired Bobby Crimmins at the end, but man, when you go after Tubby Smith at Kentucky and Jim Calhoun at Connecticut, and you're trying to get those guys, there's always a chance they're going to stay. It's Kentucky and Connecticut. So they ended with Dave Odom, who was a sitting Power Four coach and poor Power Five at the time, Wake Forest. And what happened. The baseball search the last time 2 years ago took a lot of twists and turns. The baseball search with Kingston was a matter of one number one candidate, and then it kind of fell and it went a little more open. The basketball search that ended in Lamont Paris, there was no reason for that to be that way. They should have. If everybody knows the story there, they should have hired Dennis. Dennis Gates made all the sense in the world. He was at Florida State. He had recruited the state of South Carolina. But when you wait, when you go, oh, wait a minute, we got to go. We think this guy that's out of coaching is better than you because he's got a bigger name. Chasing big names have not always worked out for Carolina.
No.
I understand the obsession with landing them. But, looking back on it, in hindsight, if South Carolina had gone up, if Mike McGee, when he hired Dave Odom, had gone up I-77 and hired Greg Marshall from Winthrop, I think men's basketball in Carolina would be a lot different. And that's I say that looking, that's before the stuff at Wichita State or whatever. Marshall hadn't come back into coaching, but that guy won. He was a winner and was a South Carolina guy, but he'd only been at Winthrop a couple of years. And so, so sometimes, but I think with where everything's at now, this is my point. I think the fan base deserves a quick resolution so everybody can get to the fun stuff. Now, what the fan base does and does not deserve, other than winning, is a point of conversation to have. I think, again, the idea is to get it right and not necessarily, rush into it. I also don't think this search with the time they've had to do due diligence and get prepared lends itself to a long, lengthy interview process where I just don't think coaching jobs most of the time, not all of the time, most of the time are like regular jobs in a lot of ways. And some regular jobs aren't like this either, where the person that gives the best interview gets it. I think coaching jobs in a lot of ways need to be a lot like recruiting. You evaluate who you want. You go after them in order. You have a board and boom, 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 boom. Don't tell anybody what your order is.
Start checking off boxes, right? Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think this thing needs to drag out at all. And the longer it goes,
the more panicky people are going
to
get.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that a bad decision is about to be made. It's just, it's, I don't know, maybe the process is being a bit too deliberate at that point. And I'm like, listen, just let's wrap a bow on this thing and get moving.
It's in South Carolina baseball job.
Right. It should not be that hard to find a candidate. I understand that, you know, people are going to be like, not everybody wants the job. I totally get that. I completely understand that. But there's plenty enough people that do to where it shouldn't take into the middle of June to make a decision here.
No, and it's a great job. It's by far the best job open. I think and there's always sometimes surprises after the seasons end at places, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't see that coming. But it's by far the best job available, barring a retirement or someone leaving someplace else. By far, it's an elite job. Even the folks that like run the West Virginia website, people ask about Steve Sabins, and it's like, well, you know, Steve Sabins is a great coach, but an elite job like South Carolina, you know, and Kansas folks have said that about Fitzgerald, and the folks at Coastal that, you know, most of them feel the way about, it's just an elite job, you know. That has to feel good. Blake said, for now, that's what worries me. Get it done before a big SEC school opens. Blake, I don't know who's going to open. Who?
I mean, the highest probability, I guess, could be Florida, just because it's...
Yeah, but they're winning, dude. And
it's always that way with O'Sullivan, right? At any given moment, they're ready to get rid of him and keep him at the same time. It's really weird.
That dude, say what you want about him. He's coached 18 years at Florida.
Right.
He's been to Omaha 9 times. So an average of every other year he's in the College World Series. I didn't know it was that consistent. I thought they did have a bad year one year, or not so good, and they snuck into the tournament. And then I still think they went to the Super Regionals or maybe all the way to Omaha. I don't know. But that guy, say what you want about him as, you know, having a tail, like I said the other day or something. But he's a winner. I mean, that guy's a big winner. I don't think that talk's kind of died down. I don't think it's going to open, but you never know. And Blake, I'm with you there. Florida would be something that would get there. You say retirement, but the guy's only 57 years old. And yeah, I mean, he's probably got enough money. Interesting thing about him is in his contract, and this may be why there were some kind of leaks out there about, oh, watch out for him for the job. I don't think anybody's going to go there around here, but I dove into it. His buyout is now only like a straight 500 grand because his contract states if he's less than a top five paid college baseball coach, then that's his buyout, you know, and he's sixth. When Mississippi State hired O'Connor, he went up.
Jesus.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah, here's a quick fact from Harrison. He's our facts guy. In 2024, Florida got in with a 13-7 SEC record over Holbrook's team, which they shouldn't have. I'll still say that. And they went all the way to Omaha and won the Clemson Super Regional. And it taken Clemson. Here's another Clemson fact for him. Took the Tigers 14 years to get to the Supers, only to get swept at home once getting there. Wasn't that the game Jack Leggett got thrown out of, too? And then to get beat by O'Sullivan, his, you know, the guy that he's coached there.
Yeah, that's right. He was an assistant
pitching coach. Pitching coach there for a long time. Sully. So, anyway, look, that's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting. But, yeah, Blake, I'd worry about Florida as far as Schnall goes, but the others, you know. Arkansas and Vandy will open in the next 3 years, especially Vandy with the way things are going there. I wouldn't worry about Vanderbilt as a baseball job. That's a one-hit wonder. One guy's won there. They don't have the advantages they used to. That, to me, that will probably – I hate to say this, Vanderbilt University just had their best year in athletics. Think about it, dude. They won 10 in football.
10 football
wins. NCAA tournament in basketball. Really good team in basketball, ranked all year. Women's basketball, they opened the season like 20-0. They're back. Baseball, not so good. They didn't make it this year. But the rest of them are up, and they got a, you know, they remodeled their stadium. Vanderbilt doesn't worry. Arkansas is a similar job to South Carolina. Arkansas is probably, I think Arkansas has been to Omaha more than Carolina, like as far as trips, but they've never won one.
Yeah.
By God, they've lost some that are like, whoa. Like that team that beat Carolina in the Supers out in Fayetteville, it went all the way to, I think Oregon State clipped them in the championship series. That team should have won it.
Yeah.
That was awful. But I think Carolina, well, but TD, no, the job aspect of it doesn't change unless you just start like, so if Carolina had lined up three or four coaches through the years since Tanner retired and they all finish at the bottom of the SEC, then that job starts to look a little bad. Or if you have, you don't spend any money, you know, you refuse to spend money. Or if, you know, some things have changed, like the Vanderbilt job, what made it a great job was the fact they could give full scholarships because they would give academic scholarships. They kind of found a loophole with the money. They don't have that advantage anymore because everybody gets full scholarships and everybody's got an NIL. So they're kind of the same job as a Duke, a better Duke or Stanford type of baseball job.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that, you know, now Arkansas, that'd be a little thing. But Vanderbilt, you know, it's not. You know, Carolina doesn't have to be at its best to be a better job than Vanderbilt in baseball.
No.
And it's on par with Arkansas. Quantrill is more concerned with the new Nike baseball jerseys and concerned that they'll be on back order when they drop. Go to GamecockTraditions.com. I don't know if you can order those yet, but TD says, well, in the defense of Carolina, it's hard to follow the man, if that makes sense. Ray set the expectations sky high. Yeah, it's true. You never want to be the guy that follows the guy. But again, you know, Carolina's had the worst 2 years it's ever had. And there were reasons for that, as JB mostly went through earlier. That was just in hindsight, you know, and that's another thing. Like, you never know. You go hire this guy that's won a national championship, LSU, that you've, you know, competed against over the years. He's pretty won at Notre Dame. You think, well, wait, this guy's going to get back in, give us his best shot here a couple of years, get it back going, and, you know, it'll be the spark we need. And it ended up being, you know, it's like putting one of those guys that back in the – you remember that movie Forever Young with Mel Gibson?
Yes.
All right. So hear me out. Hear me out. So in that movie, Mel Gibson is like, does an experiment with his buddy or something, that freezes. I don't remember if his wife was sick or something. I don't know what it was, but it's a frozen. Well, then there was George, I think George Wendt was in it. Either George Wendt or Oliver Platt won. George Wendt. Anyway, look that cast up for me.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. Yeah, let's see.
And so this guy's cryogenically frozen, Mel Gibson. It's the 1940s, and he's a pilot, if I'm not mistaken. And then, you know, he wakes up, and he's in the same house, like in a chest or something. He wakes up. It's like, oh, you know, whatever. And so he's like all of a sudden in the 90s or something, you know, it's like, oh,
George Wendt.
But he's a pilot, you know, and at the end he finds out his wife is actually still alive, that she recovered and she lives out on the ocean. He's like, I think he flies his plane out there or something. I don't know. The old plane. Well, it'd be like that guy flying the old World War II era prop plane, putting them behind the control panel of a 737 Max 8, right. Next gen. mean, my goodness.
Look at all these buttons.
This is funny. And his co-pilot's a crazy glue sniffer.
Mm-hmm.
Or Otis from Andy Griffin. Some guy. I wasn't implying anything about anybody being, maybe Otis from Andy Griffith isn't the right thing. Let's go with the guy on Eastbound and Down that's Kenny Powers' buddy that talks about fixings. That guy, little slow guy. I don't know, man. That's not personal.
Interesting note about Forever Young is Walton Goggins is in this movie.
Walton Goggins is amazing. Walton
Goggins.
Baby Billy. Iconic character. Gamecock 346 says maybe Maneri can go coach baseball at South Florence. Bruin goes, shut your mouth, Steven. Just kidding, buddy. I wouldn't wish Paul Maneri on my worst enemy. Tri-State says Maneri reminded me of when the Knicks hired Phil Jackson to be the president of basketball ops. He's completely ruined the roster and gave out the worst contracts you could dole out along with making horrifying draft picks. Again, it's Phil Jackson. I mean, you think, you know, that hasn't caught up with the Gamecocks too much. Most of the guys they've brought out of retirement are the guys that were established someplace else, by and large, at a very high level, like national championship level, by and large, they've worked out. I mean, Frank McGuire worked out, national champion. Lou Holtz worked out. For the most part, national champion. Steve Spurrier definitely worked out. You know? So, I don't know. Do we need to take a break, Phil?
Yeah, let's take us a quick break here.
Let's take a quick break. Mm-hmm. Hope would wish Paul Maneri on Clemson. Maybe he can go be a volunteer assistant. You know?
That's right. Look, Jack needs a friend.
I wouldn't wish that on Paul Maneri. Just kidding. Paul Maneri's back on the bayou eating some gumbo. Hey, guess, and he's got the best deal in the world. He gets to hang out with Coach O again because he's home. Coach O's home.
But they're bringing them all back.
Hello? Hello? Oh. The boys are back in town, Paul.
Yeah, you know, Coach, I just...
yes.
I've really missed your average jambalaya. You know, it's very delicious.
Don't worry, I'm cooking up a big pot. We're having a hard body contest at 6 p.m. Want you to meet my new wife? Come get you some average jambalaya, Paul. Glad to have you home and go Tigers.
You know, I'm just very honored and happy to be here. It's part of this hard body contest, you know.
Be back after this.
Welcome back, everybody. Meatloaf Monday rolling on here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
A meatloaf fact.
Oh, God, good. Meatloaf facts. Nice.
During his career, he lived next door to Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy.
Meatloaf lives next door.
Yeah, oh, God, I could only imagine the two of them together.
Meatloaf, he's driving a crazy train, isn't he?
Anyway, yeah. But they had a long time friendship. So RIP to Ozzy and also to Meatloaf. But I thought that was pretty interesting. Josh Holiday from Oklahoma State has come up, entered the chat. I just don't know about this guy. I think he's probably, like most baseball people, I think JB would probably strongly disagree with me here. Like 13 seasons he's coached. Actually, 14, but you don't count the COVID year. He's been in the tournament every single year. That's hard. Seems to have trouble, unless it's in the state of South Carolina, which maybe that means something, getting past the regionals, two supers and a trip to Omaha. That, of course, was in 2016 when they kind of caught fire as a two seed, knocked Clemson out, and then came to Carolina and swept the Gamecocks. Oklahoma State's a good baseball job. He's an Oklahoma State graduate. I don't know. Big 12 seems to me like Oklahoma State should be one of the better programs in that league year in and year out, and they are.
I wonder if there a connection between Saban's and
Holiday?
Holiday?
No. I think they're both – Carolina's athletic director came from the Big 12.
Well, yeah.
So I think that's probably where the familiarity is. And Saban's would be kind of a I didn't realize until digging into him how many South Carolina players he had on his rosters. I mean, yeah. Four, and then JB mentions a kid that's committed to them, you know, so he has to have some kind of familiarity with the state, you know, and I'm sure he does with Randy Mazey being his mentor. Randy Mazey, that's kind of the connection too, because Mazey played at Clemson. He coached at Clemson, coached at East Carolina. So they probably know that there's talent around here. So it's not, you know, you look at his staff and a lot of those guys are like from Ohio and Pennsylvania. They're not, you know, there's not a staff member that's the connection here, but it's a deal where that staff has recruited the states. How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good. Hope says no predictions for me this year on football season. We'll not do it again. Yeah, I think I mentioned that today on coffee. It's like before the off seasons between 22 and 23 and between 24 and 25 were full of like unicorns and sunshine and optimism and everybody's fired up and can't wait. The off season before 24 was not pleasant at all. I've said many times most toxic off season with this fan base I've ever had. Nothing you said. And I'm like, guys,
man.
And it was because after 23, you know, that was such a disappointing year because of how 2022 ended. And nobody really wanted to talk about the freshman on the offensive line and all that. And a lot of people felt at that time that was a window with Spencer Rattler. And mm-hmm. I would have loved it if Spencer Rattler played in this offense and had this receiving core. Good God. But I've never thought that was true. I never say just because you have one player, there's a window. Obviously, when you have elite talent, there are windows of time. But, I mean, people said that about Clemson when Deshaun Watson left. And Trevor's national title team was actually better, you know. But, I mean, I think every program has windows it goes through. But say everybody's down, you know. Nobody want to talk about, you know. And then the Old Dominion happened. And I wanted to go hide under a rock that week.
That was just,
you know, and things turned out okay. You know, it took them a while to get there, obviously. The 3-3 start with the near miss against Old Dominion. Embarrassing loss at home to Ole Miss. You know, the heartbreak of LSU, heartbreak of Alabama. And you're just kind of sitting there at 3-3 again. And they caught fire, you know. And then there's all the excitement last year. What happened. So maybe not having super high expectations without being toxic is in order for this season, because it's, right. I'll say this. Here's what I know. The problems that were evident last year have been addressed as well as possibly could be expected. That's why, like, some folks, I think they're just mad. I don't think they're thinking about, you know, Blaine Beamer should have been fired. He's lucky he wasn't fired. Well, okay. Some people may have made that move. Yeah. For sure. I'm not excusing the record, and I'm not excusing how it went down either. You know, what were the root causes? Well, you know, Beamer and the coaching staff shoulder a lot of that blame. It just didn't, it's one of those years didn't work. There was some decisions made that did not work out. Every coach makes them, and sometimes they don't work out. And then a lot of coaching is batting a higher percentage with your decisions. That's leadership in general. And you learn from it and you grow from it, right? There's nobody you could have hired that could have gotten the coaches he got. And the combination of that and then the roster he's got. You're looking at, some people mentioned Sonny Dykes, Ryan Silverfield. And at that point, too, with all those other jobs open, who, you know, it would have been a total crapshoot firing Beamer. It would have been, and that's why I said last year about him, you know, about should you fire him or should you not, and people lit me up about it, is, and there was never a discussion internally about this either. They were going to give him a chance to fix it. But, I mean, if he'd have lost to Coastal Carolina, gotten blown out by A&M and blown, I mean, you know, but they were a little smarter, you know. they weren't going to do that. But I think, you know, I said, like, I'm not willing to just look at all the players and look at, and say, okay, the shape of the – because remember, job program team. Last year's team was bad. Bad record. Somewhat competitive, but you don't get points for that. I'm not willing to look at it and go, it's unsalvageable. It's time to blow it all up and start over, because that's what you're doing. Even if they pass this law that the Senate's talking about passing, and I'm going to talk about that a little tomorrow because I can't believe some things that are being reported about the SEC not wanting them to pass this law all of a sudden. I think that, you know, even if, what was I saying? The law, SEC, I was talking about the SEC.
Firing Beamer is what.
So even if they pass this law, you're still able to just transfer out whenever the heck you want if your coach leaves. It doesn't matter if they limit you to one transfer or not. You can leave anytime. And these guys would have left. Largely, a lot of them came to Carolina to play for Coach Beamer. You know,
yeah,
he's what he does and the culture, and that's why some of the high school guys, they're having trouble getting, because they're worried he's not going to be there. And these guys are 2027 guys. And so, you know, it's not like they're coming in this year like a portal guy, you know. Who's going to be the coach when I get there? I want to go to high school, Billy.
No, don't ever say that.
No.
And I'm not saying people were wrong for being upset. And I'm not saying two losing seasons in 3 years, no matter how it occurs. I mean, you can forgive one injury plagued, got better at the end, move on. But the next one, that team, I think, maybe people that had them in the top 10. And it's weird because the concerns in the offseason were more about defensive personnel. Mm. Right. But I think maybe, you know, the concerns there. Maybe they had them a little bit high.
Right.
Or a lot high. But I do think this team last year was an 8-win team. And a lot of some of the contacts that internally that were like, hey, I don't know if we're quite as good as last year. They kind of were saying that, you know, this team may be a year away. I think they went 8 or something, but, and you know, if they'd have held on against Bama and held on against A&M and played well against Clemson and maybe won one of those that they were in the game in the fourth quarter, I mean, that's 8. Right.
Yeah. It doesn't take that many plays, drives to get you to 8 when you're looking at last season. And that was one of the more frustrating things about it. And you know, it was frustrating internally, and you could see it on Beamer's face, because the truth of it all was, well, you're a play or two here away from this not being 4-8. The problem is the offense was sold as, we're just going to keep it rolling, and keeping it rolling was not what happened.
Yeah.
And okay, then they're like, well, that's the reason we're failing, so time to fix it.
Big pickup for Lamont Paris just now.
Oh.
We know the identity of one of them.
Love it. Go ahead. Yeah.
The Gamecocks, this is the better of the two international players. He's Juan Fernandez, a member of the Argentinian national team. Former professional in Spain's Liga ACB, has committed to South Carolina. Probably will sign here soon. His recruitment has been quiet, but the Gamecocks kind of worked it behind the scenes. That's why you didn't put it out. 6'11", strong scorer, capable rebounder, can shoot, can step down and knock the jumper. He's a post-up player and a slasher. As Kevin Miller says, there's more to unlock in his game. Scored 7.9 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 19.7 minutes per contest. Made 51% of his shots. Play for Team Argentina, 13.7 points per game. This guy's 23 years old. He's played 5 seasons Spanish professional basketball and 4 years on the Argentinian national team. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Typical Euro guy. Curious to hear what Matt Anderson has to say about it. Again, you have to be relative about his stats because the dude was at pro ball, which is weird.
It'll be interesting. Yeah.
Juan Fernandez. Juan Valdez. Mm. But that was one of them. The other one, I'll just give a hint on it. It's his last name. All right, so I'll see if you guys come up with it. It's the first name of a fashion designer and the last name of a Braves, former Braves catcher. There you go. Yep.
Oh, Calvin. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think Gamecocks 346 is behind because I just talked about it. So anyway, 6'11". Yeah, 6'11", good. Over, under 50 yards offense for Vicari Swain this year, not including special teams or interceptions. I don't know. I can't rule it out, but, dude, they're so thin at corner. I mean, not thin. The backups at corner are so young. I don't know that they'll risk it. I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm going under there just because you don't need to expose him to risk. There's more risk management, I think, involved in that than potential for upside.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get out of here, person.
Let's do it.
I'm going to go see if Matt has anything on this Juan Fernandez kid.
Juan. Hey, listen, he's only 23 years old. Which, you know,
he's young.
Yeah. I mean, that's still technically college age if you didn't really declare a major and decided to go 5.
I don't think he's going to get 5, dude. And that law, too, if they pass it, I don't know. My guess is they'll make it, you know, they won't make it retroactive. Half these, I saw the other day that if they pass the law about European pro players, that all of Wisconsin won't even have a basketball team.
Who knows what's happening down there at LSU, too? I mean, that'd be the same thing.
A lot of those guys just straight up need to be ineligible. RJ Lewis does not need – it's unbelievable.
I know. I couldn't believe, you know, watching the silly Alabama AD last week trying to defend bringing in a professional player after that.
And the SEC, like I was talking about, they're against this law. You know, that means they care more about – not having other conferences make TV money,
yeah,
than they do about having a sport. And that's sad. So anyway, all right. For Phil Molinex, JC Sherbert, it's been the show. Holla at you tomorrow.